America. Will the pianist please start us off?
Thank you. point of a fanfare and one.
I think the audience would be fascinated to know how this group came to be, this wonderful Buccaneer group came to be. It's an honor to have them here, all the way from Jacksonville today. How did you happen to organize this, cousin?
Can I speak through here? Speak through this.
This group, raise this up
just
a little
pull
bit.
It.
This group was organized approximately 15 months ago by our business manager, Mr. Ray Pick. He's back here somewhere. He was the instigator. Started out with three or four boys. Gradually built, got more boys, and we decided to get girls for the pretty part of it, as you can see on the left. And with a lot of hard work, why, we started to learn these musical numbers. We bought equipment, uniform. The Corps grew to its present stage of 61 members, of which all of them are not here today due to something else coming up. The group has participated in many, many events around the state. And 2 weeks ago tonight, they won the junior championship down in Miami, Florida, for Junior Drum and Bugle Corps. They will participate on the 22nd of this month for the state championship in Cocoa. All of this, of course, could not be without our wonderful parents organization of hard workers who get out and raise the money necessary to take these kids around. We're very, very happy to have been invited to come here today and participate in your folk festival, and we hope that we're asked to come again. We leave in just a little while after lunch to participate in the centennial in McClenny. We have a parade at 2 o'clock, and we put on an exhibition later on in the evening. This is an exhibition corps. They actually require a complete football field to put on their maneuvers. It's a precision drum and bugle corps, marching and maneuvering. Okay?
That's it.
Yeah, I want you to take them right off real quick for me.
Color guard, left, face. Thank you.
didn't tell you what I wanted him to tell you. The most important thing, I think, is that the parents felt the need of organizing something constructive for the children to do. The parents are all American Legion members or American Legion Auxiliary members. And these children, many of them are the children of those members. But it's open to any child who wants to participate. And they buy the instruments and put them in the hand and say, here, play it. And they play it. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And I think it's highly appropriate to wake you all up with a group like that. Let's give them another hand. We know that it isn't appropriate ever to have a folk festival without First Citizens of Florida, the Indians. And our lovely Seminole Indian friends are here with their longtime friends, Albert and Jesse Bell Devane. Will you introduce them now, please? And I wanted to say, with all you people sitting in the sun, it's good for you. You know, people go and lie on Miami Beach and pay big money to get a sun bath. In just a little bit, the sun will move around and you'll be in the shade, so don't mind.
You want me to...
real brief now, Albert.
You got to make that make it short.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today, as Mr. Thelma said, Cousin Thelma said, the Florida's First Citizens, the Seminoles. Seminoles have been in Florida since about 1710. And we have with us today some of the very distinguished of the Seminoles, I should say. They went through three wars. And at the end of the war, they was fighting for their homeland, Florida. And there was less than 100 left in the state. And from that 100, the Florida Seminoles today number over 1,000. And they're all descendants of those 60, a part of about 8 or 9 families who refused to emigrate. They went deep into the Everglades and hid, and they took the women into the cypress swamps and hid them out. And these are the descendants. Now, I'm not going to take too much time here today. I'm going to introduce who I have here today. You've got lots of fine programs coming up. And well, just bring them all up, and then we'll... All of you come on up. All of you. These Seminoles, there are three reservations. Brighton, and the Big Cypress, and at Dania. There's been a lot of progress. The children and they are in going to the public schools now, the greater part of them. Now, as the oldest Seminole in Florida, who was 99 years old, the little moon in February, which is our first quarter. That's as close to the day that I can tell you, but he was born on the little moon in February, 99 years ago, and what is now Highlands County. He's hunted all of his life. He learned to read and write himself. And made out the mail order for the different Seminoles way back during the early period. Billy Bowlegs is of the Snake Clan. His clan has furnished all of the tribal chiefs since the first chief came into the to Florida from the Creek Nation in Georgia. And they were called Seminoles or separatists. Alexander McGilfry, the chief of the Creeks, called them rovers. So they are descendants of the Creeks, I mean the First Nation. Now, this is Frank Shore. Frank Shore is chief medicine man of the Brighton Seminoles. That is the Creek-speaking language. We have two languages of the Seminoles, the Creek language and the Miccosukee. Now, Frank is medicine man by inheritance. As you know, all the heredity is passed down through the mother. So his uncle, great uncle, great great uncle, were medicine men ahead of him. So he's of the Wildcat Clan, and Chief Billy Smith, which maybe some of you here are old enough to know him, who lived north of Okeechobee, was the medicine man who Frank succeeded. That was his uncle, his mother's brother. Frank had a family of seven children, one girl in Lawrence, Kansas, Haskell Institute, another son in college in Oklahoma, and the three girls here, Molly, Nancy, and Mary Jane, are in school in Okeechobee. There's two boys, Jim and Brown, who are also in school. One graduates this next year. Now let me hit Joseph Billy. Now, Joseph Billy has the distinction of being the son of Billy Cornpatch. Conipajo, he was called in the Indian, but it's Billy Cornpatch to the white man. He was Florida's first educated Seminole. He was educated in the home of Captain F.A. Henry, who was a friend of the Seminoles who at that time lived at Fort Thompson, which is now LaBelle, and Fort Myers. And Joseph Billy, mother's people were medicine men. His father was not, but his mother's people were. Consequently, Josie was the chief medicine man of the Miccosukees, following his mother's brother who succeeded him. So that line comes down. Well, 20-some years ago, Joseph Billy gave up the green corn dance and joined the church, and he's now a great preacher among our Seminoles. His brother Ingram is now chief medicine man of the Miccosukees. Josie is a doctor, an herb doctor, an Indian herb doctor, I should say. He doctors his own people and many of his friends, the whites. He compounds his own medicine. He's the man who sold the tranquilizing drug to the Upjohn Pharmaceutical Company. I might tell you that they had up mill towns had been having them for years before we got a hold of them, so before we worked it out. So Josie is a former medicine man. He's a preacher. He's a doctor. He's a fine Indian. You want to tell about something about? Yeah, okay. Now Jesse Dale will introduce.
We're not going to leave the women out of this. Lottie Shore has just as long a distinguished line as Josie Billy and Billy Bowlegs. Lottie Shore's great-grandmother was taken prisoner when Billy Bowlegs agreed to go west. But her great-grandmother was captured in the Kissimmee River Valley, taken over to Tampa, and transferred out to Egmont Key, where they boarded the Gray Cloud, the ship that was transferring them to the Arkansas Territory. When the boat stopped to refuel at St. Mark's, there were some aboard ship that were ill, so they asked for permission to go ashore to gather some medicine. It was prearranged. At a given signal, they would try to make their escape where they could stay in their native land. Six did escape, and one of the ones was Polly Parker, who was her great-grandmother, and we call her Polly Parker, the Evangeline of the Seminoles, because her husband wasn't with her, and she did refuse to go. They hid out by day and walked by night and walked all the way back down into the Everglades. That's the reason Lottie's here today.
One more thing, as somebody has been coming here for several years, Lottie's grandmother has been coming with us, her and her husband, Nahaw Tiger. But she hasn't been able to make the trip for 2 years. She's over 90 years old. The daughter of the Polly Parker who escaped at St. Mark's and came back to her people. Thank you.
There's five living generations in Lottie's family.
We are proud of our friends, and I hope you'll visit with them. Lottie brought her sewing machine. She made Jezebel's dress on her little portable hand sewing machine. Isn't it lovely? And if you'll visit in the Chickie with her, she'll show you how she does it, because she sews a great deal. She's a skilled artist at it. I wonder where our friend Fred Beaver is. Fred visits with us every year from Ardmore, Oklahoma. He's a talented artist and a crack entertainer. Well, is he coming? Good. Cousin Fred? Fred made this beautiful outfit he has on.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma. I guess it's good. You will have to excuse me. I cannot speak English too well. And it's been quite an experience for me to be here for the last... Well, this is my fourth year. And each year, I feel deeply honored to be among you. Come back to the ancestral grounds of our forefathers. I imagine it's quite a bit of change. But I'd like to participate. And thanks to Mr. Barnes, Ms. Bolton, and Mr. Fowler, and the rest of the staff of this Stephen Foster Memorial Commission. I don't wish to become too formal, so we just get into this folk songs of my people. And I'm a full-blood Creek, or Muscogee, and these people were once members of the Muscogee Nation. And it's during about the latter part of 1600, early part of 1700, date is quite not certain, but there was a great division among the Muscogee Confederacy, and this group separated from the main branch and established residence in this area. And during the Indian removal to the west, the government tried to include all these so-called Seminoles in this area, but they captured some of them to go with the Creeks to what is now Oklahoma. The rest went a little further south. And 2 years later, the soldiers came to see if they can send all of them west. When they came after them, or they went further on south. where they are now living to this day. And this group comes from Brighton, where the language is Muskogee. They speak Muskogee. So we have great fun getting together here and talking to each other, converse. Sometimes we don't need no sign language like most tribes in out west do. This morning, what we would consider folk game, younger kids used to talk to each other, practice doing sign language. I see quite a few Boy Scouts among us, and I'm sure that they have little inkling of sign language. I'd like to demonstrate two or three signs, and let's see if we can get what they mean. Of course, when I do this or this, it's me. When I do that, pointed specifically at a person, that's you, and this is me. And then I'm going to do I'm going hunting buffalo. I'm going to hunt buffalo. The sign language is this. These are horns. Is that just two? I didn't know, buffalo. But sometime the Indians make a mistake when the settlers started across the country. They got to where they confuse this sign, buffalo, with a cow. So it was kind of humorous for a while, but actually it really means buffalo. Now I'm going to do the same thing, and I want you to tell me what this is. I'm going to hunt. Me go across mountain, hunt deer. I think a lot of you remember this. It's wonderful. In ordinary conversation, where there's a person that you don't trust, you want to keep your friend from talking to him or giving him the confidence, you must warn him. And the main sign is this. Not with pointing at him or any indication of a person, say, for instance, this gentleman here. I don't trust him. I don't want my friend to trust him, say, for instance. Instead of pointing at him, I look at my friend with my eyes. I look over, slightly over there, see? If he catches, then I do this. Forked tongue. He's not trustful, see? He's like this. They do it quick, like that. You never look at the person you're talking about. You may look at him with the corner of your eye. See, if he catches you, just do that. That means don't have nothing to do with him. See? That happened quite a bit years ago. Now, so much for that. I'd like to sing you a chant that our people still carry on the green corn ceremony. And this is one of their songs, social songs. And then this is my accompaniment. Yaka willy ho, yaka willy ha, yaka willy ha, hit a ha, yo da, wee ha, hey, yeah. Yaka willy ho, yaka willy ha, yaka willy ha, hit a ha, yo da, wee ha, hey, yeah. Yo ho, wee, yo ho, wee. Some of you may be a little tired sitting down since this morning, so I want you to relax and help me. Help me sing. Think you can do that? All right. All are young, men and women, boys and girls. This is your chance to help me. Now I'm going to sing another chant. And at the end, I'll give you a real high sound, just like this, see? And I want you to yell, holler, whistle, anything you want. Just so you're happy. We're all friends. We're here together. All races of people, fellowship, see? It's in that mood we are in this morning. So, you help me now. Be sure when I do this at the end of the song, yell. Okay, this will be real short. We hey yo ho, oh ho, 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 we hey yo ho, oh ho. Thank you.
You know, being director of the festival should give me one or two little privileges, and I just spied in the audience my aunt and uncle from Columbia, South Carolina. Jimmy, I want them to sit right under this tree here where they can hear. They can't hear or see. They've never been. So you all just bring your chairs back and sit there, right there in front of that tree, if you will, please. In front of the tree. It's wonderful to have you here. And that leads me to something we are curious about. We want to know how many out-of-state people we have here. Will all the Georgia people raise their hands? Hooray for Georgia! How many Alabama? Look, there's some hands. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes, sure. Put your hand up, cousin. How many South Carolina? Hooray, you've got some sitting right behind you there and some over here. How many North Carolina? Good, hooray for North Carolina. She's kin to me too, honest, blood kin. All right, any other southern states? Arkansas. Good. All right. Now we want to know how many Yankees we've got. Well, we are going to learn you some things today. All right, now. We want to know how many Florida crackers we have. And I want to know how many honest-to-goodness Florida crackers, you who were born in the state. And how many of you have a parent who was born in the state? And how many of you have a grandpappy or a grandmammy who was born in the state? And how many of you, now don't tell me any fibs here, how many of you have a grade of some sort born in this state? Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Well, all right now. Let's cool off and listen to a medley by a great friend of Stephen Foster Memorial's Florida Folk Festival, Cousin Mary Lee Wainwright, who might have come the farthest. She came from Hollywood, Florida, that is. Where are you, Cousin Mary Lee? All right. Yeah. people standing up over here, and if everybody would squeeze up in the bleachers, squeeze over, and let's make room for them. I'm sure there's still plenty good room. Coming on the stage is a fine choral group from Fletcher High School, led by Cousin Louise McClure. What are you going to sing for us, Cousin?
A folk song called Tom Dooley, and a spiritual called Elijah Rock.